Daf Lamed Ches, Mishnah. Hamafkid peres etzach haveri. So if someone gives you fruits to watch, we'll see if we're talking about specific fruits or not in the Gemara. Vafilu hein avudim. Even if you, while you're watching the fruits, they seem to start rotting. It says the Tanakama lo yigaben. You're not allowed to touch them. Now we had a similar halacha back in the previous parak in the Metzias. That was talking about when you find an aveda. We said when you find an aveda and it's starting to get lost, starting to get ruined, you're supposed to sell it. We talked about if you can make money from it, if it's an animal and it can give you work or it can give you eggs, we discussed. And we discussed how long you should keep it before you sell it, 3 days, 30 days, 60 days, etc. That was all by an aveda. An aveda where the owner doesn't, you don't know where the owner is, you don't know when he's going to come, you have no responsibility to lose any money or to do anything to watch a subject. And if hafuch, the mitzvah is to keep the object for the owner, and therefore in that case, the Mishnah clearly said you should sell it. In this case, the owner gave you the object to watch, and he did not give you instructions on what to do if it starts rotting. Now, if the owner's in the neighborhood, he's in town, you can get in touch with him, then of course, the Rambam says you should call him up and ask him, what should I do with the, you gave me a kilo of apples to watch for you, they're starting to rot, what do you want me to do? But our Mishnah is talking about where the owner's not available. So on one hand, the owner's not available. On the other hand, he didn't tell you that you should be able to sell it. He just said, watch it for me, and watch it for me means just watch it for me, make sure it doesn't get stolen, etc. He didn't say anything about selling it or protecting it. Tanakama says, you're not allowed to sell it. Why? We'll see in the Gemara what the different reasons might be. Shingam Lealimer, no. Meichen Bifnei Bezdin. You do sell them in front of Bezdin. Some verses have a bid Bezdin. Again, it's a din of Meshav Eda, watching out for someone else's financial interest. And therefore, Rishon Gamliel says you could sell it. It's not clear. It's Machalikas Rishonim if that means you have to sell it, or does that mean you could sell it, right? If it's in a Meshav Aveda, then it doesn't necessarily mean you have to. It means you could. Other Rishonim say, no, it's a din in Shemir. Part of your dine, Hilchas Shmira, is that you have to protect the owner's object that he gave you to watch, and part of that protection, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, is that you must sell it. So Machlokes Rishonim. So what's Pshat in Tanakama? Why does Tanakama say you should not sell it? The chayra, the person's fruits that he gave you, are rotting, and they're not going to be worth much anymore. So why should you not sell it? So I was going to say three or four different reasons. So my time up. So Rav Kana, Adam writes, Rav Kana says, the Pshat is, because when a person works and grows his own crops, he has a special appreciation for the work that he did and for the crops that he grew. Some of our Rishonim says, even if he earned money and bought them, it would be the same halacha, but a person, when he works for something, he wants that. He doesn't want something else. And therefore, you don't have a right to sell it. We'll see exactly when you do have a right to sell it, because obviously if it's not going to be worth anything at some point in time, he's going to want you to sell it. We'll see in the Gemara in a few minutes. But all things being equal, says Rav Kana, that's pshat in the Tanakama. The person who gave it to you to watch and didn't tell you to go ahead and sell it or not. In this case, you have no right to sell it because we assume the person wants his own things more than he wants something else that belongs to somebody else. Rav Nachman or Yitzhak Amar, no, a whole different issue. Chashin and Shemet Asan HaMafkid Truma U'Maisra Amakim Achim. We have a chashash like this. Maybe the fruits that he gave you were tevel, and he had other fruits of tevel at home, and he decided to make the fruits that are in your hands Truma on the tevel he had at home. Even though Tosfos points out, generally speaking, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to take truma, what we call shaloimin amukuf, from something which is far away, not something which is close. However, there are heterim to do it. If it's Erev Shabbos and you're stuck, there's different situations where you could, and therefore it says in Nachum, we have to be afraid that maybe these fruits that he gave you to watch are actually truma. And if they're actually truma, you can't just go sell them to somebody because then you're selling truma. What's the issue? Hold on, Gemara explains. We have two reasons. If Kahana says, person just doesn't want you to sell his stuff, Rav Nachman says, because we're afraid he made it into truma. So, Meisve, we have a Braisa. Mafke peres etzach haveri, harezer lo yigabahen. The Braisa says, you cannot touch them, like the Tanakama. The Fichach, therefore, Baal Bayis ha'isar and truma ha'maisu makam achar. Since you're not allowed to sell them, so the Baal Bayis can assume they're still around, and a Baal Bayis can assume they're still around. If he needs to, if they were tevel, and he wants to rely on them to take truma from stuff that he has in his house, he's allowed to do that. So of course, it makes plenty of sense. You're not allowed to sell them because the person doesn't want you to sell them. And now that you're not allowed to sell them, then the person could assume they're still by you and they are tevel, and he could use that to make truma on his own stuff. It's not lefichach, it's the opposite. This is the reason you're not allowed to sell it. It's not lefichach. So my only chenami hachi kamer hash the rabbanon and zabin the cheshin lefichach balabai. So he says in truma masu amakom acher. So it's a catch 22. You're right. Since according to Nachman Yitzchak, the person we're afraid is going to do this. He's going to take truma for something else. Therefore, you're not allowed to sell it. And that all fits together. That's exactly what the Braisa is saying. However, he puts a qualification on the halacha in our Mishnah. The machlekes in our Mishnah is b'kedei chesroinim. If we see that the crops are going to be losing the amount that is normal and typical, if we see that they're rotting more than the typical amount in a certain time frame, then it says Rabbo Barachona b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Then everybody agrees. Of course, you can sell them a bezem if they're really, really losing their value much more than is typical. Then you're going to have this issue. Now, Tosfos points out the way Rashi explains the sugya, it's very, very strange, because if they're losing more than the typical amount, then everybody holds you could sell it. If it's losing less than the typical amount, then l'chair everybody holds you can't sell it. The only machlekes would be if it lost just that right amount, which is a very, very, very specific amount for each type of fruit or whatever it is. It would be a very rare case that you'd have such a machlekes. Tais is not so happy with Rashi's pshat, but that seems to be the pshat that Rashi says. So now, this qualification that it makes a difference, how much is rotting, let's go back to the two svaras we've had to now. We had Rav Kahana who said a person wants his stuff more than he wants his friend's stuff. And Rav Nachman's issue was that it might be truma. So the Rav Nachman Yitzchak Vadei Pligi, this qualification clearly argues on Rav Nachman Yitzchak, if the issue is that we're afraid he made it into truma, so what's the difference how much rots? If he made it into truma, he made it into truma, and therefore you cannot go ahead and sell it at all because it's truma. And therefore, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, no question, no matter how much you rot, the Tanakhama would say you cannot sell it. Rav Kahana, who said, is this arguing? Rav Kahana meant only if it's rotting a normal, typical amount. So what do you mean? That's not what he said. He said even 9 times, which sounds like it's rotten. Nothing rots that much. And Rav Kahana was just saying, as an expression, it is an exaggeration, but he didn't mean it that much. And of course, according to Rav Kahana, if it rots too much, then even the Tanakhama agrees you could go ahead. Chazal will allow you to sell it. The Braisa said, Lefichach balabais oisus and truma maisa amokamacher. Says, wait a second, how can you make truma maisa amokamacher? Now that you told me that halacha is that sometimes, even according to Tanakhama, you are allowed to sell it, so how can you make truma? Maybe he sold it. And maybe it rotted more than the typical amount, v'zavinu, and the shomer sold it, v'gog hotfalayim, and the owner who assumed that he can use this as truma, it did not make it truma because it wasn't in his hands anymore. Chazal said he could sell it, and he sold it to somebody else. Therefore, what the owner is eating at home is tevel. So why does Bryce say you can assume that the shomer did not sell it and use it as truma if we see there are cases where you could sell it if it rots too much? Someone know, it's not shchiach, it doesn't normally typically happen, and therefore we don't have to be chayshish that it happened. But if you find that it happened, then you would not be able to. Says Moshe, I don't understand. So then we're still not satisfied. V'mishtachi, if a taka rots too much. Okay, so the shomer goes and checks on the crops, and he sees that taka rotted. So now what? Now you say he can, or they're starting to rot more than the typical amount. So you said now, according to Rav Chanan, according to Rav Kahana, you can go sell it. But maybe Taka took truma. Maybe Taka did take off that truma. And therefore, now what you have here is truma. Says the Mo, you're right. So we could have said maybe Rav Kahana holds he's not chayshish, he's going to make truma. But the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says Rav Kahana agrees that maybe you'll have taken off truma. We don't care that because Lamaisa, he has this other svara. What is the issue? That maybe that when it rots too much, you'll be worried about it. And Rav Kahana says, when it rots too much, you don't sell it stam to a Yisrael, you sell it to a Kohen. So Rav Kahana seems to be agreeing to both these svaras. A, you cannot sell it because the owner wants his own stuff. But if it rots too much, then you, of course, the owner does want you to sell it so he can save some money. Rav Kahana also agrees, maybe he'll take truma off of it, and therefore, when you go ahead and sell it, if it rots too much, you should go ahead and sell it to a Kohen. And that's how he puts together both chashashas. Obviously, you're not going to get as full price for a coin when you sell it to a coin as you would sell it to Israel, but at least you get something. Says, but wait a second. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Nami doesn't mean a lokoin in the truma. So then, what's Rav Nachman, if that's the point, so what's Rav Nachman Yitzchak arguing about? Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, we're afraid that he took off truma from it, and it's truma, and you're going to sell it to Israel. What's the problem? Just sell it to a coin, just like a coin of Kahana. When it rots too much, you sell it to a coin. So if Nachman Yitzchak's whole point, you should sell it to a coin. Someone, no, you missed the point. B'hal pligi, the question is, when are you taking off the truma? Rabbi Baruch Hanu b'shem Rabbi Yechon Savar, Yoyis M'dei Chesvenim Le'Shchiach midi. It's not shchech to happen. V'chi mishtakel kameyu dehave yosem v'deich yisrainim. We're not worried it happened right now. We're worried it happened later. It'll take a long time for that to happen. And the avalu balabayish truma ma'isa makamachem kameyu dehavelu yosem v'deich yisrainim avalu. And therefore, you're not going to sell it right away. You're only allowed to sell it when you see it starts rotting. It takes 3, 4, 5 months for it to rot to get to that point where you'd be allowed to sell it. And therefore, says Rabbi Ochanan, if the Baal HaBayis is going to take truma on this stuff, he's mustam going to take truma on this stuff relatively soon after he gave it to you to watch, because, as Rashi points out, you only take truma on the stuff from the same year on the same year. You can't take truma from year to year. So therefore, if he gave you Tavshin Pei Dalet's fruits, mustam, if he's going to use it to take truma, it's going to be in the next few months. And then 4 or 5 months later, it starts to rot. Now you can go out and to sell it. What are you worried about that he made it truma? No problem. He sell it to a kohen. Hilkachi havelu yosmi dechazon. It was being a little kohen to make truma. But Rav Nachman Yitzchak has a different issue. It's not just that Rav Nachman Yitzchak's issue is not that it is truma, and then who are you going to sell it to? Because if that was the chashash, and a chanami sell it to a kohen. Nachman Yitzchak sabi yosmi dechazon mishka shchichi. It does happen. Vichi havelu la'altu dehavelu. And it could be it's going to happen very quickly. V'yamin nazvinu, if you let the guy sell it, zimnin nekonim azamalei, he'll go ahead and sell it within the first few weeks. Vichi havelu ba'abayis truma ma'isa makamacha lo yoda dezovna. When the ba'abayis goes out and tries to make it into truma, it's already gone. It's already sold to somebody else, and he can't make it into truma. V'chol tvalayim, and therefore he's going to be eating tevel at home. So it's a very different svara. So Rav Kahana and Rav Nachman Yitzchak are arguing about 2 points. Rav Kahana said the main issue here, as a person does not want you to sell stuff at all. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says the issue is truma. But Rav Kahana agrees there's a truma chashash. But the truma chashash is not that you're going to sell it right away, and therefore he's not going to have what to make the truma out of. The truma chashash is he held on to it. Maybe you used it for truma. No problem, you sold it to a coin. Whereas according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the issue is that you're going to sell it too fast. And if you sell too fast because it starts rotting too fast, then in a chenam, you're going to have a problem that the truma was never truma, and the balabais is eating tevel at home, and therefore it says, we never want you to sell it if it's rotting, even if it's a few months later, and like a gzera, whenever it rots, we don't let you sell it at all. So according to Nachman Yitzchak, you can never sell the stuff according to the Tanakama. According to Afghana, like Rabbi Baruchar Basir Rabbi Yechner explained, you could if it started rotting, because we assume that only happened much later, rotting significantly. Mace, we have an interesting brisa. Again, similar to our case of our Mishnah. V'yakivu, and they rotted. But here the Brisa throws in other types of crops. Yayin v'chmetz, if you give him wine, you see that it starts spoiling, becoming vinegar. Shemen v'hivish, you give him shemen, and it also starts to spoil. Dvash v'hidvish, different words we use for the spoiling of different types of things. So Rashi says, hidvish means that it's yotza tamdu v'chanei, it lost its sweetness, v'hichmetz. Okay, so that also is a way that it spoils. So it says the Tanakama, reza lo yigam, and divrei meir, which seemingly is the Tanakama of our Mishnah, says, you know how to sell them. Chamer meimim, oisem takona, no, you have to make a takona, v'meichron bebezdin, v'meichron bebezdin. Again, this seems to be the same achleikis, the Tanakama, and Rishon Gamliel, our Mishnah, is the achleikis, between a mayor and the chachamim and the brisa. The brisa goes on to another point, and we'll come back to the kasha in a second. When you sell them, according to the chachamim, you have to sell them to a third party. You can't just say, okay, I'll eat these fruits and I'll put some money on the side, because we're afraid that it'll look like you're going to be cheating the Baal HaBayis. You won't be giving him full price. If you have to sell it in the real sale. It's a similar halacha based on this chashash. Gabayt stock, when a gabayt stock is collecting lots of shkolim, if he doesn't know who to give it to, so parton, he wants to change the small coins into bigger coins. He doesn't have to schlep around small coins. So parton lacherim, he can only do that in a real bank, by a real exchange place. Van parton liatzmi, he can't do it for himself, because again, it looks like maybe people think he's cheating. Stock. Gabay tamchui, if someone has food in a soup kitchen, there's nobody to give the soup to. So you have to sell whatever it is that you cooked. So again, says the brisa. Okay, so that's the brisa. Second chashash, but the Tanakama and Remeir in our Mishnah and Chacham and Shingam Liel in our Mishnah seem to be saying the same thing. Now, Katonim, yes, Peris v'Yerkivu. It says Peris that rot. It doesn't say how much they rot. It doesn't say how much they rot at all. And still the Chacham say that you could sell it, and then the mayor says you do not sell it, no matter how much it rots. V'kivu, my lava feel yosim g'deis chesroinim, even if it rotted above and beyond the normal amount, so that would be mashma like of Nachman Var Yitzchak's pshat, that you can never sell it. So we're talking about where it only rotted the normal amount, and Echarami, that's like Rav Kana said, that if it only rotted the normal amount, the Baal Bais did not want you to sell it. Sema val yayin v'hichmet shemen v'hishmish, dvash v'hid shayim v'shemen v'hivish, yayin v'hid vish, d'yayis v'deich chesroinim minu. Wine, once it spoils. Fruit, it rots slowly all the time. A few fruits, a little piece of the fruit, etc. Wine, once it spoils, is gone. Shemen, dvash, once it spoils, it's gone. That is yosef gedech esroinim. It's finished. There's nothing left there anymore. And therefore, you see, even in that case, Tanakama said, you cannot sell it. You see, like Rav Nachman by Yitzchok. No, over there's another point. Maybe Rav Kahana is right. Rav Kahana says that if it spoils too much by those types of things, you could sell it. By yayin and dvash and shemen, the issue is it's never going to get any worse than it already is. Now, the whole point of selling the fruits is to save some money. Start spoiling. You see it's spoiling more than the typical amount. Sell it now so at least you can save the remainder. By yayin, shemen, and dvash, it's binary. It either is or it isn't. And once it's spoiled, it's all spoiled. There's no reason to go sell it anymore because there's nothing to save. Shemen v'hivish, dvayim v'hivish, says the Gemara, if that's the case, l'may chazu. So what is it, if that's the case, so what do the Rabbanan say? The Rabbanan say you can go ahead and sell it. What do you mean sell it? It's spoiled already. Says the Gemara, shemen chazu l'gal d'oy, shemen, you can't use it for eating, but you could use it to smear onto leather. Dvash katisha the gamli, you could put it on something they put on for a medicinal purposes onto a gummel when it gets cut. Okay. Says say you can go ahead and sell it, but what are you selling? There's you're not saving any money yet, as we explained. Maybe it has value, but what's the point of selling it if it's already totally spoiled? So Ravashi the kankanim. You're right. The problem is if you leave the spoiled wine or spoiled vash or spoiled shemen in the barrels become unusable. The barrels absorb the spoiled flavor or spoiled smell, and they become unusable. And therefore, you want to sell it to save the barrels, which seem to be also owned by the Baal HaBayis. So what's the machlekes then between Meir and the Chachamim? The Marsav lefsin muruba chashashu, lefsin muat loy chashashu. The hefsin muat of the fruits and all that stuff, that's just a small amount we're not worried about. Lefsin muruba we are. Marsav afil lefsin muat nami chashashu. We're even going to be chashash for the hefsin muat. So what does it come out here? So we're saying, buy a hefsin muruba, which yasami dechesren we're worried about. But hefsin muat, the of the peiros or the ruining of the barrels or the wine, etc., that we're not going to be worried about. So now it seems to be, the way Rashi explains it, we now have a third pshat in our Mishnah. The first pshat Rav Kahana was a person wants his own stuff. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said we're worried about the truma. It seems to be here we're explaining that the issue here is hefsin meruba versus hefsin muat. That the Tanakhama says we're not worried about hefsin muat. It's just a little peiros rotting, etc., or ruining the battles. That's hefsin meruba. If it's yosef gedei chesroinam, okay, that's already a hefsin meruba. But if it's hefsin muat, he's not so chayshish. Maybe in conjunction with Kana Svar, because he prefers to have his own stuff. But now we threw an extra twist into it that it depends on how much hefsid is actually coming from this. But we had shitas of Shingam Leo. Shingam Leo, I'm a yemachem abezim de shukamesha aveda labaylam. Itmar, Vaba Bar Yaakov, Amar Amar Biyechon, Alakta B'Shem Gilo. We talk about Pasuk B'Shem Gilo. You should always sell it, even if it's just a hefsin muat. Rav Amar Rav Nachman, Alakta Kidav Yechom. We pass on Chom like the Tanakama. Av Amar Biyechon, Chodah Zimna. Damar Abba Bar Yechon, and Komak B'Shem B'Shem Gilo. And Shemesh Shasen, Alakta Kamaisi. We always pass on B'Shem Gilo. Chutz Mi Erev, Tzid, and Vrayachon, in three places in Shas, we don't, but otherwise we do. So why does he have to specify over here we do? So my Rayan believe the Rechan, it's machlaikis about what Rabbi Yechon holds. Some one Amara holds, Rabbi Yechon holds, we always pass like a Shem Malil, so he didn't have to specify it. The other Amara holds, no, Lavdafka, do we always pass like a Shem Malil? So here we specifically had to mention that we do. Says the Gemara, Midu Shingam Leal Nishma. From the fact that Shingam Leal says we have this din of Mesha Aveda, and we should go ahead and sell the person's stuff, even for a hefsid muad, even though he didn't tell you to do it, but you can go ahead and do your best to save someone's property, we still can deduce from that another halacha. The meridin karv l'nichse shavui. We have a halacha like this. What if someone is captured by Goyim Nebuch, and we don't know if he's alive or dead at this stage in the Gemara, so, and his property is just being natush, his property is not being taken care of properly. No one's there planting, no one's there plowing, and his property is just sitting around. Should we allow one of his yarshim to go into the field and take care of the field, plant stuff and grow stuff on there. If he's dead, then of course the Irish gets it. But we don't know if he's dead. He was just captured by Goyim. So what do? So the fact that Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, when you're watching something for somebody, we go out of your way to protect the stuff. So l'chaira here also the same halacha would be that we allow a Yerush, even though we don't know that the person is dead, to go into the field to take care of the field. And with the Rabbanan Nishma, they may come and say Shavui. And the Rabbanan who say, no, you can't touch somebody's stuff until we know for sure, until we know what the deal is, until he tells us, and no matter what the situation is, then you do not let the Yerush into the field. So these two issues are tied together. Over here, the fruits are going to get spoiled. He's going to have zero left. The whole core is going to get it ruined. Avol Hasam, but by a field, just because you don't grow crops doesn't mean the field is ruined. The field might be ruined a little bit, but it's not necessarily gonna be lose its value. The field is still a field, so maybe there you don't let the guy in. Like if Kahana said, other rights of Makav Shaloy of Nachmitzah because referred by Truma. Aval Hasam by the Shuya Khanami Demaridin. Maybe you do let the guy into the field. So Lav Dafka are the two halachas tied together. So the name of the Trey Taiminin. That would seem to indicate you're assuming that the machlaikas we have about Maridin Lenichse Shavuot, or the machlaikas we have in our Mishnah, about a mafkin, whether you can sell the Paris, is two svaras. Is that really true? Vam Revilim Shmuel, Lachim Shengam Liel, Vyam Shmuel, Maridin Krav Nichse Shavuot. Shmuel said we do seemingly tie these halachas together. And it seems to be, therefore, he said, that if someone is Chatz Rasham captured by the Goyim, we let someone into his field. Lamishub the Chad Taimu. Some Aloy trade them and could be paskin both his halachas, but they're not necessarily connected one to the other. So Hachanai Mustava, it makes sense that they're not connected. Like the Narmishi Paskin Dak Chachamim. Vyam Rav Nachman read the governor say Shavit. Even though Chachamim say you're not supposed to sell the Paris while you're watching it, we do allow someone to go into your field. Now, Shram Nach Ray Tamin, it's two totally different issues. The reason we don't let someone go sell your field, sell the crops is because Rav Kahana's chashash, or because Rav Nachman Yitz chashash of Truma, but has nothing to do with Nixay Shavuot. Nixay Shavuot, we want someone to go into the field to take care of it, so the person could have a properly kept field. Itma, let's talk about that sugya for a little bit. Shavuot Shenishba. Rav Amar Ein Marid and Karav Lenixav, Shmuel Amar Marid and Karav Lenixav. But this is the machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, do we allow the Yerush to come into the field? So something more, what are we talking about? Bishashamu by Shemesh Kulamai Pligim Ridin. If we think he's dead, Taisa doesn't mean we need Edom. If we have a coil or even an Edechad, we have a good substantial reason to assume the person is dead, then there's no question, everybody agrees, you let the Yerush come in and take care of the field. Kipligi, and not just take care of the field, but he's actually going to eat the crops in the field. Kipligi Bishaloy Shemesh. We don't know that he's dead. We don't know anything. Rav Amar Ridin. Dilma Mafsalu. Rav says a new svara we haven't seen before. We don't let the person go into the field because maybe he's going to ruin the field. Normally, the way you take care of a field is you have to fertilize it properly, and every once in a while you change the crops on the field so it doesn't eat up all the nutrients, etc. If you don't care about this field because you don't necessarily know it's going to be your field long term, you might just drain the field of all its nutrients and kill the field. And therefore, the new svara says, Rav, why we don't want someone to come into someone else's field is because we're afraid he won't take good care of it and he'll actually ruin the field. Excuse me. Since at the end of the day, if the person comes back alive, the halacha is that the person, the Yerush, gets to take only a third of the crops or 25% of the crops, depending on what the normal sharecropper price is. We're not afraid he's going to ruin the field, because the more he gets out of it, the more profits he can get. So we're not afraid he's going to ruin the field. So that's the machlekes Rav and Shmuel. Meisvei Rebbe Lazar Oimer, the pasuk says, Mimash v'shenemer, the pasuk says, V'chara api v'ragti eschem b'charev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if you don't follow the mitzvahs, I'm going to kill you b'charev, v'ayun eshecham almanos, u'benechem yisayman, your women, your wives will be in almanos, and your children will be yisayman. So what does the pasuk mean? V'chara, mimash v'shenemer, if the Torah says, v'chara api v'ragti eschem yodani, shen eshem almanos b'nei yisayman, obviously if the Torah says the Torah is threatening to kill someone because they didn't keep the mitzvahs, then of course the wives will be almanos and the children will be yisayman. What does the pasuk mean at the end? Amata malaymer vayon hashechem, but lamish hashechem mevakshi shenasev emenichrisam. There'll be almana b'chaim, meaning the husbands will be taken captured, and then the wives in aguna, and she won't even be able to get married. Ubeneim reitzin leirin nichsevim ve'emenichrisam. The Brisa says, and the children will want to take over their father's fields, and they won't be able to. So what do you see? You see, the Torah is giving a klala that a person will be captured by goyim. We don't know if he's alive or dead, and then the children will be like yisaimen b'chayavim. They won't be able to do anything in the field. So you see, clearly from this brisa, that if a person's taken b'shevi, we don't let the Yerushim go into the fields. Amarava Leirid Vilimkar Tana. No, it doesn't mean he won't be able to go into the fields. He can go into the fields to work, but he won't be able to sell the fields. You can go into the fields to work the fields, to get crops in the field, but of course you cannot sell the field. Listen to this story. They had this conversation about Yer Nichse Shavui. Upashta Rav Shesha B'Yamasti. So Rav Shesha said, B'chor Rav Raya from the Brice, you cannot go into the fields. And Amalei Ravam Dilma Leirid Vilimkar Tana. Ravam said, no, like Rava had answered. All the Brisa meant was the klala was you won't be able to sell the fields, but you'll still be able to work in the fields. And Amalei Dilma Mi Pumpadisa. He said to him, ah, you're from Pumpadisa. The Mailem Pila Bekupa Demachta. You like to stick elephants into the eye of a needle. Meaning you're making a very deichik pshat in the pasuk. That's not pasha pshat in the pasuk. Pasha pshat in the pasuk is that you won't be able to do anything in the field. So the Baba doing this, you're saying, B'nayim Katani, Ma'asim Klaloi, Afach Klaloi. Right? The women, they won't be able to get married at all if they're an aguna. So the boys, when they want to go into the fields, won't be able to go into the fields at all. It's very deichik to say they'll be going to the fields, but they won't be able to sell the fields. That's not parallel to the case in the Nashim. So again, we have this machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. It says Marina Karv Nixay Shavui in a case of Loi Shama Ba Shemes is actually Machlaikis Tanoim. It's not just Machlaikis Rav and Shmuel, it's also Machlaikis Tanoim. Tisanya. Harar the Nixay Shavui, if someone goes into a Yerish, goes into a field of a relative that was captured by Goyim, we don't know if he's alive or dead, Lechari yet. Ein Matsine Simiyadi, you let him stay there. And Tosis says, even though it sounds like it's B'dievet, it actually means the Chathchila. If you hold my read them, it means we want you to do it. You hear the guy's alive and he's coming back. Chazal said, you get the field now. You can't sell it, but you can get all the crops. And if there's a rumor that the guy's alive and coming back after you already moved in, quickly harvest everything and take it. Whatever you get to take before he actually comes back is yours. When he actually comes back, then we said you get split up like an Horus. We'll see. What is the case of Shavui that we allow you to do this? One of the relatives, and you heard that he died, that's when we let you go in. But if you go into a field of something that's natush, that means we don't know if the guy is alive or dead or not, then we kick you out. So the Tanakhama says, if we don't know that he's dead, you're not going to the field. Just like a shvuyah who we think is dead, you're allowed to go into his field. Not to show we don't know if he's dead. You are not. You also are allowed to go into his field and use the property. So we see clearly that machlekes tanoim by loy shamu b'shemes, which is the case of Shavi, the Rav and Shmuel argued about. We have this now machlekes here between Shem Gamliel and Tanakhama. The Brisa continues. Hayar the next say ritushin, which is something else. Maitzina said the other here. We also kick him out. If you have a ritushin, what is that? Reshav v'achav v'achav and a marishin kan. Then you So it's not that they were captured or not captured, but they just disappeared. We don't know where they went. They just, you know, went on a long trip and left their field and just abandoned their property. So that's when also you're not allowed to go into the field. That's the person's responsibility. What's the difference between rit and nit? So it depends on our pasuk. Nitushin is the bal karcha. Nitushin means he was captured by goyim, and therefore he's unable to come back. And we have that lashon by shmita. Vashvias tishmetena vinitashto. You will leave the field because the Kashpochu made your field. Afkosa de Malka. When you can't work the field because you're unable to, that's called nitushin. Ritushin is midaita. Ritushin means you left on your own free will. The Gemara brings an interesting pasuk in Hosea. It says, "Aim al banim ritusha." The context of the pasuk is the goyim are going to be scaring the Eden. And Rashi says, Rashi dashes the whole pasuk that it doesn't mean the goyim are going to chase you out of the land. It means you're going to be afraid of the goyim and you're going to leave on your own free will. So you see, when you leave on your own free will, that's ritushin. So we're coming out now that if it's Shavu by Shemes, everybody agrees you can go into the field, seems to be no problem. If it's Loi Shavu Shavu Meis, it's a Machlokes Tanoim, but that's only by a case where it was captured. If it was not captured, he just abandoned his field on his own, then it seems to be everybody agrees you cannot go into the field. Okay.